This episode was recorded for my UK Column show. Please support UK Column by going to support.ukcolumn.org.
This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
But you don't really hold a lot of those views anymore, do you? That sort of anarcho-capitalist libertarian thing.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally do. I just don't talk about it because it's kind of obvious. It's like, you know, basically, I don't think anyone should be slaves unless they want to be. And a lot of people want to be. So I'm like, okay, you want to be a slave? Okay, don't make me a slave. That's the unfortunate part. When they're slaves, they tend to bring other people to make them slaves as well. But you can't actually make me a slave, no matter what you do, because there's nothing you can do to control me. So even if you try, you can put me in a box, you still can't control me. So, when you mentioned that it's maybe I don't talk about that stuff anymore as much, it's because, yeah, it's obvious now. It's obvious that slavery is bad. It's obvious that the best way for humanity to coexist is through voluntary transactions and freedom and free markets and things like that. So I've been talking about that for 15 years. So anyone wants to go back over the last 15 years and hear all about how I've talked all about that, you can. But I think at this point it's pretty obvious. And now it's like way more important to be talking about what's actually happening and the apocalypse and actually doing the work on yourself is actually the most important work to be doing. So those are the things I talk a lot more about now.
It all starts within, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's all there is.
Well, that's the end of the conversation. Jeff Berwick, thank you.
Yeah, there's no need to say anything. We are all that is. We create this entire thing for ourselves. There actually isn't anything really to talk about.
I mean, I obviously agree with you because I hate that sort of mental slavery mindset, that victimhood culture that so many people around us have. You can always be a winner if you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what most people have been in our cult, our culture. The things that are done to humanity, mostly by like not even non-human entities, make us forget what we are. And they've done a really good job of that. And a lot of people have fallen for a lot of that stuff. And I think it's also human nature to an extent that some people, they're so beaten down, which is so sad, by this entire system, by this entity, by all these things, that some of them can kind of fall into that sort of victim sort of like identity. Which is kind of sad. That's like all this stuff's kind of sad how this all gets done to people. But the great news is you don't have to be at all. It's all a choice and everyone has that choice. And there's no reason to feel like a victim whatsoever. You created this everything. So who are you going to blame? You created everything. And that's the thing that most people just don't get.
Well, this is also it's a major issue with society as a whole. I think people like having a savior, and if they like having a savior, they don't want to do the work themselves.
Yeah, that's something that this entity that controls this matrix knows incredibly well, and it's another sort of a human sort of a thing. That's unfortunate that a lot of people they don't want to actually do the work themselves. They actually want, and that's why we even have things like governments and things like that, which is just basically mind control. It's actually the meaning of the word government is mind control. And so that's what a lot of people just fall for, all these sort of things, and just get lost in all these things. But it's all a perception and it's all an illusion as well. And your average person, like, it's a very human sort of a thing to want to take the easy way out of things, right? But in this 3D video game, which we're all playing, that never actually works out well. You actually have to do the hard things, which seem hard at the time, but they're actually not hard in reality. It's actually just awakening to what you really are and accepting it, which is incredibly hard for people to see or even accept if they even get to that point. And so they've been rolling out these things, you know, that's what the government's there for the most part, is because people want someone to take care of things for them. And then you have the more sort of man-made organized religion sort of a thing. And those generally, not all, but a lot of them kind of talk about, oh, well, there's this one guy and he's going to save you. And then, you know, that works for a lot of people. And then they don't do the work. And they don't actually listen to what that one guy might have said when, you know, that one guy usually is saying things like, you have to do the work. You have to go in the desert for 40 days and figure out who you are. But people don't want to do that. So then people are always there willing to sell them whatever they want to make them feel better so that they don't do the work and that they're happy not doing the work. And having that sort of victim sort of idea in their head and things like that.
I don't know if you know Larkin Rose. He's been on my show. Great guy. Great thinker. He argues that government is essentially a cult. It's a superstition that people believe in.
Yeah, Larkin's a pretty good friend of mine. He's spoken at almost every Anarchafoco. I helped him make a movie called The Jones Plantation.
Yep, with Andrew Triglia.
Yep, another good friend of mine. He comes to Anarchafoco all the time. And Larkin's book, The Most Dangerous Superstition, is actually one of the best books for anyone on Earth to read. If anyone believes in the idea of government, that book is one of those things that will snap you out of basically the mind control, which is the exact same thing as the Jones Plantation. Jones Plantation is actually just another version of that book, put in a different way to try to break people outside of their mind control.
Do you buy into that sort of David Icke idea of the simulation?
I don't know exactly what David Icke believes. He's another friend of mine. I know he's written many books, including one called The Dream, which I haven't read yet. I don't really like care or look into what other people believe that much, just because, you know, I know what's actually going on, and I don't need to hear it from anyone else, although it is interesting. So if he's talked about the simulation, so to speak, I talk about this being basically a 3D video game. The reason I actually don't like the word simulation, because I've heard of the simulation theory. And the thing I don't like about the word is when I hear the word simulation, it's for me, it means, I don't know if this is what it actually means, but what I hear when I hear simulation is that you're actually not playing the game. I believe we're actually playing the game, but it's actually not real. So it's very similar, I guess you could say.
Would you mind elaborating on that a little bit, the idea of the 3D video game?
Yeah, that's one way I've used to kind of explain what I think this world is, this experience, this what we're having right now. What is this? To boil it down really fast, I think that there's only one thing that's ever existed and ever will exist, and that's consciousness. And you could also call that the creator or God. You could call it that as well, though God's got all kinds of connotations involved in it with different ways that people think that what that is. I actually like the word creator because I think consciousness has created all of this like a 3D video game. So this isn't base reality. And actually, if you talk to most religious people, that's kind of what they believe as well, right? Because they say, well, we're here in this body, this physical body, and we're sinners, which is a very, very interesting way to start it off. And then you got to go to give people at the church money and tell them all your problems and stuff. And then you got to hope this one guy's going to save you. That's kind of crazy, but that's what a lot of people believe. But even when they believe that, what they're saying is that this isn't base level reality. Reality is outside of this, and we're we're in this to be tested or whatever you want to call it. And that's essentially how I see it as well. I see this like a 3D video game that we're playing, that we put ourselves into for a number of reasons. One of them is to learn. One of them is to experience. Because if you are a complete consciousness, you can create anything. So you can imagine what kind of things you might create, like an entire universe and a multidimensional universe with all kinds of good guys and bad guys. And you put yourself into the game in like billions of different forms or trillions of different forms. And you experience the game individually through each individual playing character. So that's pretty incredible. So that's basically what I think this experience is. And so a lot of the times I'll say to people that this isn't real. And that really grinds some people, to really trigger some people, especially if they're really attached to this being real, which means they're basically caught in the matrix. But I can also say to them things like, well, what's a dream? When you dream, that seems real. Who created all that, right? And when you're in that, that seems as real as can be. Like if you're getting chased by a tiger in a dream, sometimes you wake up, you're screaming, you're sweating. That feels as real as this feels. So which one's real? Was that real or is this real? Neither of them are real. They're all being created by consciousness itself, and it's all incredible. Even in this 3D video game, there's like thousands of different lives you can go through. Like, it's the most complicated and interactive video game, multiverse, multidimensional. The script writing, like the actual like storyline of it for each individual character is written in like real time. It's like when I see people playing like actual 3D video games on like an Xbox or whatever, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're in the best 3D video game ever created. Like, nothing can ever compete with this. This is five stars. This is the best. There's smells, there's sounds, there's love, there's hate, there's fear, there's multi-dimensions. You can dream inside of it. You can change your dreams. You can change yourself. You can reprogram your own mind. That's basically what I think this all is.
And when you're on acid or whatever, that's also pretty real.
Well, yeah, what's that, right? So I've done many of those psychedelics. I've done ayahuasca, I've done iboga, I've done DMT. I actually haven't done acid. I've done numerous things. And so what's that? What are those experiences I'm having, right? So that's a whole other part of the video game. That's incredible. And I actually think that in many ways, a lot of those things are power-ups. They're a lot of the more hippie types will call it like plant medicine, because it really is. It can give you incredible insights into the video game if you are at the right point of the video game where you really need that to see something that you otherwise couldn't see. So yeah, you've got psychedelics inside the video game. It's the best. Like when I'm done, I don't know when it ends, but whenever that is, I'm giving it five stars. Like nothing's ever going to top this 3D video game.
But if we are inside the game, who's on the outside?
Well, we aren't actually in the game. We think we're in the game. There is only one thing that exists. That's consciousness. Time doesn't exist. We don't exist. This isn't like real. It's an experience we're having at this moment. But that's the only thing that ever exists.
But you and I are talking to each other.
These characters that we're currently playing inside the video game, yes.
But, okay, so then there's one consciousness, not two, that are engaging with each other.
Correct. It's actually one of the biggest things to actually conquer or win this video game is to conquer the mind and not let it control you, because your mind will actually stop you from wanting to actually discover who you really are. Your mind, in some ways, is your biggest enemy in the video game.
What happens in bad situations?
Well, this video game, like, no one would play it if nothing bad ever happened. Like, if I said to you, hey, I just found this new video game. It's a 3D video game. It's incredible. It's incredible. And you go, well, so what are you doing it? And I'd go, well, nothing really. You just eat grapes forever. And nothing really bad ever happens. And you don't really ever have to learn or conquer or go on a hero's journey or win anything. you'd be like, well, I have no interest whatsoever in playing that game. That sounds incredibly boring. Like, well, who would ever, there's no video game out there that you don't have any sort of challenge, right? That's the whole point of a game. There's horrible things inside this 3D video game matrix. Just ask people in Gaza. There's absolutely the most evil, most horrible things you could ever imagine are inside this video game. And so are the most beautiful things. And it's all up for you, and it's all for you to find your way through it.
Those people in Gaza that you just mentioned, if you say it's not real, they'll say it's very real.
Yeah, when they're actually going through it, it feels completely real. Absolutely. But it's not. And they'll know that once it's over.
So what happens once it's over?
Well, I don't really know. I just don't know. I don't know everything at all. That's just what I think, or I pretty much know is what's actually happening. If you wanted me to take a guess, I have a feeling that, David Icke actually does talk about like the light and going back to the light and getting stuck back into the matrix again and stuff like that. I think there's probably something like that. I think there's also like a life review sort of a thing, which, you know, Dick Cheney just apparently passed away. I wouldn't want to be him during that life review, right? All the horrible, evil things that a person like him has caused in this world. So I think, you have to, that's actually part of the game as well. So if you do all this stuff, you actually have to go and feel what you did, and you usually have to come back, and that karma actually happens to you in the next life. So, this is where it kind of sounds a bit cold to anyone who's going through something horrible right now, right? So, for example, you could use like a 2-year-old kid in Gaza, and believe me, there's not many people on earth who feels worse for those children than I do. But I do know at the end of the day that it's all part of their story. And, maybe they were some incredibly evil person in a past life. I don't know. And I know that sounds horrible to a lot of people, but it's actually the case, in my opinion. And that's how this entire game works.
Okay. So in other words, everything just continues and continues and continues.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think... imagine your pure consciousness. Would you ever stop being that? Probably not. So, you can create any universe you want. You could, just even look at this world, this Earth, and all the incredible things that have happened here, and all the, empires, and, what were those pyramids all about? And there was Atlantis, and there was like mud floods. like that's just one part of this video game, and you can do anything you want. So, yeah, probably I would guess. Yeah.
Yeah, but hang on a second. Also, a lot of what we're told is simply not true.
Absolutely. And that's part of the video game, is for you to figure out what's actually happening, to figure out what you really are, which is really really difficult for most people to do, and to actually live that way inside the video game. I think that's the highest sort of goal of this video game, is to actually play it completely consciously, knowing what you really are.
Do you think there are controllers of everything around us, though?
Inside the video game, absolutely. Yeah, there's the bad guys in this video game are incredible. They're like, not human. They feed off of the energy of humans. This is all part of the video game. It's incredible.
Well, hold on. When you say they're not human, what do you mean?
Well, they're not human. so whatever they are, there's different ways that you can.
Yeah, David says reptilian.
Yeah, you can call it that. If I was talking to a organized religion sort of a person, like a person who's in the Catholic Church, I would just call it Satan. It's not human. It's not from. It's not from this dimension, and not in a human form that is doing a lot of these things on Earth. Yeah, everything's part of the video game. And I laugh when I hear scientists. They're like, we know exactly how old the universe is. And they're like, it's 6.7 billion years old. It's like, okay, well, what was there before that? And they're like, well, we don't know, or nothing. And then it all exploded. I'm like, That's the stupidest theory I've ever heard. That's like how stupid are you? How many years did you go to school to come up with that idea? There was nothing and it all exploded. Oh, thanks. Yeah, great. Oh, no, you're pretty smart.
I actually read somewhere where they did some mental gymnastics saying that, well, actually, nothing is actually something. And yeah. That's why it was able to explode into something more. And then it expanded, which it's currently doing, but it's expanding into itself.
You know, if you go deep enough into even the science sort of stuff, it actually all leads back to this, none of this actually exists. Like, that's actually where a lot of that sort of that, I forget the words they use for it. Quantum physics or something like that. When I see some of those guys sometimes talking about it, like some of them I see they write like a whole book basically talking like how I'm talking right now, but based on science, because they've kind of like looked at it scientifically and like, holy cow, like nothing actually exists, like that double slit experiment and stuff like that. It's like if you look at it and does something different. So who's actually controlling what's actually happening here, right? And does it even actually exist? And that's where a lot of the scientific guys are coming to. They're like, well, this thing can exist and then it cannot exist. And that's kind of what you're saying there, right? So all these people are trying to like look and try to find out what's actually happening here. And it's interesting, but it's actually quite simple.
Yes, but Jeff, where you're at is multiple steps ahead of where the average person is at.
Yeah, talking to an NPC who quite possibly could actually be an NPC, like an actual soulless non-player character inside the video game. There's actually a fair amount of evidence that's true. So yeah, it'd be kind of crazy to try to tell like a non-player character how the game works. It's pointless. As for myself, I think I've come to these conclusions, you could say, or knowledge after years and years of doing work, which actually started with ayahuasca, and then I went into iboga. Then I went into deep hypnotherapy work to clear out my traumas for a number of years. And then after that, I began meditating, and I basically meditated for 1 to 3 hours a day for about 5 or 6 years at least, and some days up to like 5, 6, 7 hours a day. Now I do it in a plasma bath, which is incredible. I get downloads. And now basically I don't really even need to meditate, so to speak. I'm basically always in a meditative state now. So yeah, that's basically how I've gotten here. And as I've gotten here, it becomes quite clear. It becomes quite obvious what's actually happening if you do enough of that work.
Tell me a little bit more about your day.
Well, I can tell you about my day today. So I woke up at 5 in the morning, like 5 on the dot in the morning. I don't know why. My 3-year-old, he's just turned 3, just hadn't woken up yet. So I decided to go up and, you know, prepare for my day, get my water ready, which is my hydrogen water and all my supplemental type stuff. And then I went down to my spa. And I did about an hour on the treadmill and lifting weights. Then I went in a massage chair where I usually use a brain tap hypnosis device for about half an hour and reprogram my mind, which you can totally do to make yourself whatever you want to be. And then I went and did my Tesla machine, which is a plasma device, which is incredible. It basically heals everything. It actually de-ages you. I've actually de-aged by a couple decades over the last year or so. Then I went into a steam room then I went into a sauna, which I have all these things in my house, by the way. And then I went into my cold plunge pool after the steam room and sauna, which is incredible. It's the best. It's almost like doing ecstasy. Then I went outside and I lied. I'm here in Acapulco, so I lied in the sun naked for about half an hour, which the sun is so important for health and so good for your mood and everything. And after the cold plunge pool, it's the best. And then I went in my Tesla plasma bath, and that's where I used to meditate. Now I still do meditate because I'm always in that meditative state, which I'll get to in a second. And I get incredible downloads because this plasma, this is something most people don't even know about yet, is basically life force energy straight from the creator. And you can actually get downloads, you can get connected, you can heal anything you want with it. Then after that, I went to my hyperbaric chamber and I fell asleep for about an hour and actually set my alarm exactly for 5 minutes before this interview. I walked up, I hugged my daughter, I kissed my wife, I turned on the camera, and now we're doing this. And yeah, you're asking about like a meditative state. Basically, a meditative state is just being completely present always, or in that moment at least, right? So I'm almost always, I can't say I'm always, I do fall out of it every now and then, but it's quite rare now. So I'm basically always present now. And most people probably don't even understand what that means, because they're probably, most people are actually living in their mind. They're usually living in the past or the future, either worrying about the past or you know, feeling bad about the past or reliving the past because that was the good times, or thinking about the future and worrying about the future or getting excited about the future, but they're actually never present. And when you're actually present, that's the only part of this video game that's even close to real. Everything else is actually your mind is creating all sorts of things. You're actually not living in the present. So that's what I mean by meditative state.
I struggle with being in the present. It's an ongoing battle for me.
Like most people live that way. Like it's very few people actually, I think they call it enlightened when you live this way. And it's like very few people on earth, I think they say are actually always in the state. Like I think they say Buddha and maybe Jesus or something, I don't know. But, and I think there's more, but I think there's quite a bit more, but there's not many people who are pretty much present most of the time. And I'm going to say I'm not present 100% of the time, all day, every day. I can fall into it or out of it. But I usually catch myself fairly quickly now. And that's something, it's just work. It's just like going to the gym. You know, if I was Arnold Schwarzenegger back when he was winning Mr. Universe and stuff, and you were like a skinny guy and you're like, how do I become like you? I would say, well, you've got to be in the gym like every day, like 3 hours a day. You got to be eating exactly the right thing. You got to be sleeping perfectly, all these sort of things. It's the exact same thing for actually turning your mind into like complete, like superpower mind where you actually control it. Because most people, their mind's actually controlling them. And that's the exact opposite of what you want. And that's, yeah, so many people have anxiety and so many things because they're unable to stay present. When you're in a present moment, like actually we can do a little little thing for you here if you want.
Yeah, let's do it.
Close your eyes and all right. Take a really deep breath, just really deep. In this moment right now, is there any problem?
No.
Okay, you were just present there for like a second. If you stay in that moment, there's never a problem. Of course, there could be a problem, right? Let's say a tiger just lunges through that window behind me right now. That's something I'll have to deal with. And I might even fall out of my present moment state, or I might even go even deeper into it, actually. But for the most part in life, there's rarely any serious immediate problem. But most people actually live like there's always an immediate, because of the way our culture is, that all the information, the news always shouting at you, people, oh, you got to do this, you got to go to school, you got to work, you got to get your mortgage, you got to, you know, all this sort of stuff has people rarely ever living actually presently. And when you're like that, it's very difficult. And I totally feel for you. I used to be like that myself. And I'll give you one tip. Drinking alcohol will not help you to stay present. It actually, just so you know, I drank more than anyone and probably in the history of the world almost, you know. And it actually, what it actually does, and I've learned this myself personally, is I used to drink quite a bit because I was looking for this being present all the time sort of a thing. And after one or two drinks, my mind would stop yapping so much and I'd start to just enjoy the moment for a bit there, right? And that's actually like a meditative state. The problem is that's actually poison and it's actually lowering your vibration. And so you can actually feel even worse afterwards. And it will make it even harder for you to get into this regular present state. So as advice to you, what I would do, and it's actually not very hard. It can be hard. Like my first few years of meditating, was like having the crap kicked out of me every day, because I had to actually look at myself. I had to actually look at my traumas. I actually had to feel and look at everything about myself, my programs, my childhood, all these sort of things. But the main way to do it is every morning, just set aside some time, and it could be, you know, whatever you need to do. If it takes you a few minutes to wake up or whatever it is, once you're basically awake, try to find a place you can just be by yourself and go sit and lie down. And the one thing you want to do is just watch your mind. And this is something that most people have never even tried to do. And it's the most important thing to do, because until you can actually see what your mind's doing and actually realize you're not your mind, then all these things will just continue on basically forever. So what you want to do is just sit, take a deep breath like we just did, or take a couple, and then go, okay, I'm going to see how long I go before I have a thought. And what you'll probably notice is within seconds, you'll have a thought. And you might even get trapped in that thought. That thought might be, oh, don't forget tomorrow, you got to go do this interview or something like that, right? And before you know it, you've been thinking, oh, and then, oh yeah, I'm interviewing that guy. And before you know it, it's been like a minute or two, you're in this thought, right? That's okay. That's all part of training. It's just like going to the gym. Whenever you reach the point where you go, wait a sec, I just got trapped into a thought for like minutes, don't beat yourself up. That's just totally normal. It's just like going to the gym. Take another deep breath and go, okay, let's try again. And you'll probably go 2 seconds again. But if you do this day after day after day after day, you will eventually get more and more aware of your mind. You'll also come to a realization at a certain point. You'll be like, wait a sec. If I'm watching my mind, who's watching it? And then as you continue to do this more and more, you'll be like, oh, I'm not my mind. I'm actually basically consciousness inside with a mind and a body, which if you learn how to basically control, you can do anything. You can actually change this game completely. You can manifest anything you want. So that's really the only thing to be doing. Like when I hear about people and they're like, should I do this? Should I do that? I'm like, just do the work. Because once you do the work and you get really good, you can manifest anything you want. You can change, you can reprogram yourself, you can do anything you want.
What are the benefits?
You can have anything you want. You can, well, you know, really, like for me, the benefit is how I feel. I can't even describe it, how I feel now. Like when I mentioned, so all those things I did this morning was about 5 hours. I was up at 5. By the time I got down to the spa, it was about just a little bit before 7. So I did a whole bunch of stuff, organized some things. I finished at about 5 minutes before noon. So that was almost 5 hours that I was in the gym, in the massage chair, doing the hypnotherapy, the steam room, the spa, the Tesla machine, the cold plunge pool, the tanning or sunbathing, you could say. The plasma bath and the hyperbaric chamber. That was about 5 hours. It's like almost like I'm on ecstasy the entire time, because I'm basically in this meditative state and I'm actually enjoying it all. And then the reason I can enjoy it, by the way, is I've done years of the self work. So I don't have all these mind things coming in like, oh, you better do this. Oh, you're not strong enough. Those things are gone because I've actually worked on my mind enough that, like, even if I do hear every now and then something, I just kind of laugh. I'm like, yeah, okay, I heard you. Yeah, nice try, right? That sort of a thing. So I actually basically I'm almost in like a state of ecstasy as I'm doing all these things. Like as an example, when I fell asleep in the hyperbaric and my alarm woke me up, when I was awake after all that, I was like, oh my God, I feel so good. Like you can't describe how I felt after doing all those things, right? So, you know, you're asking what are the benefits in this matrix, in this 3D video game of this? Like you basically, if you can reach the levels I've reached, and this has taken about 10 years, just so everyone knows, I'm sure people could probably do it way faster than me. I'm kind of slow and not very smart in some ways. Like I really am. I just don't catch on to some things sometimes. But basically every day for me now is almost like I'm never not happy. Like I'm basically either happy or ecstatic most of the day, no matter what I'm doing. And it could be something bad. It could be like someone goes, hey, Jeff, this just happened. It was something bad. I still feel fine. Like, obviously, like, let's say like one of my dogs died, like Lucy died like a year or two ago. I wasn't like that. That was tough. That was really hard. But I also hadn't reached quite this level at that point. But you know, it's never fun. Like, you're still in a human body. You still have human emotions. So I still felt those things. But in general, if anything like that happens, I'm still generally fine. I feel generally great. And actually, I know that anything that happens, no matter what's going to happen, it could be something horrendous, like a rape or a murder of someone I really care about. Well, that'd be horrible. I hope that never happens, because that'd be horrible, obviously. But I'd still probably be okay, because I know it's all part of the video game, and I know it's there for a reason, for me to learn, for me to learn about grieving, for me to learn about sadness or whatever it is. So yeah, that's the benefits basically. And then on top of that, when you get to these levels where you can really control your mind and you're really present all the time, not only can you see things so much better that you can, you become like a superhuman almost. And like, how did you know that? Like, people ask me about that. And I predicted so many things that have happened over the last few years. They're like, how did you know? I'm like, I was in my plasma bath and it all just came to me, you know, that sort of a thing. And then on top of that, I've also learned how to manifest, which you can do inside the video game once you get to these sort of levels. And so you can manifest anything you want, whatever you want. But the thing is that a lot of the stuff that I used to want like 20 years ago, I don't want now. So if you would ask me 20 years ago, Jeff, you could manifest anything, what would you manifest? I'd be like a 400-foot yacht full of basically prostitutes and cocaine and alcohol, right? That's what I would have wanted. But now actually I've reached a level where I can kind of see that those things are actually negative for what I actually am now. So I actually don't want any of those things. So one of the kind of the funny things about reaching these levels is that you can manifest basically anything, but you don't really want or need anything at that point.
When external forces come into play, like 2020 lockdowns and the mandates and all that kind of stuff, how did that affect you?
Well, at the very beginning, it affected me a fair amount, because that was like 5 years ago. So I was still actually drinking alcohol back then. I was meditating, but I was nowhere near where I am today. And so it actually affected me quite a bit at the very beginning, because all of a sudden I couldn't travel to go to conferences and stuff, which I'd been doing for years. Also, a small thing, but it really bothered me, was that they stopped playing hockey during the COVID at the beginning. And I was like really wrapped up into watching hockey and stuff like that. But it actually turned out to be one of the best things ever for me, because what happened was I couldn't travel. I couldn't watch hockey. So I thought, well, I guess I'll just do more of this self-work I'm doing. And I actually got way deeper into it and ended up meditating hours a day after that. And that's when everything changed dramatically for me. So in some ways, that entire event, and this can be the case for a lot of people, was a very positive thing for me. And I think that's kind of what it was. It was kind of like a slap to humanity. You better wake up, or things are going to get just way worse here. And the universe, or the creator, or whatever you want to call it, will do things that like that to try to wake up. And now, of course, some people woke up, like myself, and some people just got even deeper into it, right? So they're, you know, that's all part of the video game.
You spoke about yacht and prostitutes and drinking a lot. It suddenly reminded me about your trip with your mate Luke, where you went to Epstein Island.
It was pre-COVID, so it was I think 2019. And yeah, that was a very past life me of, we're on a private plane going from island to island drinking, and Luke said, let's try to get on Epstein's Island. And we went and had a bunch of drinks, and then gave a captain a bunch of drinks, and he dropped us off. And yeah, so that was a part of my old life for sure.
Yeah, you were there for about 30 minutes and you didn't have shoes on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we didn't think he was going to drop us off, so we actually got him drunk on purpose. You know, he's a captain. He likes pirates and stuff, and he's in the Caribbean. So, you know, if you give him some rum, he's definitely going to drink it. And we actually had the idea, we'll give him some drinks and maybe he'll let us go to the island, because he said otherwise he wouldn't. It'd be way too dangerous for him to go near the island. So we got him some drinks, and then we're sailing past the island, and all of a sudden he pulls up to the dock and he goes, if you're going to go, you got like 5 seconds. And Luke hopped off, he had his shoes on, and I hopped off and grabbed my camera, and I didn't have my shoes on. I didn't even think of it. And the entire island is these jagged little rocks. And so I would have enjoyed that way more if only I had shoes. But for me, it was mostly like a torture for an hour. It was about an hour, I think, like 30 minutes to an hour, I think, of just walking on jagged little rocks for me personally, until we eventually got down to the beach. And then they kind of found us, and then we had to run for the boat. My YouTube channel got deleted. But I think Luke, We Are Change, it's still on. So if you go to We Are Change Epstein's Island, you should find it.
Now, going back to your morning routine, which is absolutely fascinating, does your wife join you?
She doesn't join me exactly, but she does a lot of the same stuff. Her day usually starts with prayer and meditation out in the sun as the sun rises. Then she usually does yoga. Then she usually comes down to the gym, and by then I'm out of the gym. And then she'll work out in the gym. And then by the time she gets to the Tesla machine, I'm already done there. So she basically follows behind me on a lot of these things. So she does the sauna, she does the cold plunge pool, she does the plasma bath. But yeah, usually right behind me. So we're kind of like not together, but I see her every now and then. I say hi and stuff like that.
Oh, I suppose it doesn't really matter though, does it?
No, it doesn't really matter. You know, like basically we're both doing our own thing. It's not like a lot of these things are like couples activities sort of a thing, right? Like we can't both be in the massage chair at the same time. She actually doesn't like it when I'm in the gym, when she's in the gym, you know, she just wants her own space, which I totally understand. That's fine. So we both do it, but kind of separately.
Now, obviously, somebody listening to this might ask you, oh, yeah, okay, but fine. I work in the city. How am I supposed to be present?
Well, like I said, all you need, do you have like 20 minutes a day where you can go sit and watch your own mind? That's all you need to do. All these other things I do are all just added on top of all the things I do. Although I should say, like, for someone who doesn't have, say, a lot of money or lives in a place where they don't have their own gym and stuff like that, like, most of this stuff isn't very, like, all the stuff I'm doing, like, for example, I usually go on the treadmill and do, like, about an hour, about a 5K every morning on the treadmill, but I could just easily do it outside as well. And actually, that'd be better for me in some ways. I'd be more grounded, more getting more sun, but I go and do those things in different ways. Obviously lifting weights, you can just do calisthenics, you can just get a couple barbells, you're like, that's super easy. Then I go in a massage chair. Now that's a little bit expensive, but you can actually self-massage yourself, which I also do. I usually do that in a hyperbaric chamber. I've got one of those massage guns, and I actually am in a meditative state, and I just allow my body to massage itself, which is super awesome. So that massage gun, $50. Steam room, you can have a hot shower, I guess, get the steam going. Sauna, there's actually home saunas that aren't even that expensive, really. Those are great. Now, Tesla machine, it's about $11,000 to be a member of the Tesla Club, so that's a bit more expensive. That's what I would call like a super power-up once you get to those levels. Once you can manifest, you could probably just manifest yourself one. I basically manifested my Tesla machine. That's a whole other story. Then there's hyperbaric chamber. That's a bit expensive. It's about $8,000 to $10,000 for a hyperbaric chamber. But the one thing I would say is, like, if you add up all those things, that's about $20,000 of stuff. Your average person has probably got a car worth at least $20,000, probably $40,000, $50,000. They're probably financing and stuff like that. They're probably spending a lot of their money going to sports ball games and bars and restaurants and stuff like that. So I would say, if you really feel like you want to do a lot of the stuff I'm doing, you can probably do it. It's just a matter of you making a decision of what's a priority in your life.
I agree with you. So I got tired of going to the gym, so I basically built my own gym, and I've got my own weights and barbell and all that kind of thing, and it's very rewarding, and you actually save money down the line.
How so?
Well, I mean, gym membership costs you money every single month. But if you have your own gym, it's the, you know, there's a bit of capital outlay, but there's nothing after that.
Yeah, for sure. And if you think about it too, like if it's the difference between you not exercising and exercising, the value is massive, right? Because if you, because you don't have your own home gym, you don't exercise, and then you become like really ill and fat and slow and all these sort of a things, like what's the value of that, right? So I think a lot of people just don't really think about what's the true value of a lot of these things and don't, you know, just don't put their effort into those sort of things. But that said, a lot of those things aren't that expensive, like you pointed out. Like even it, like you can actually like go watch a calisthenics YouTuber. They don't have any weights. Yeah, they're
those
ripped.
Guys are next level, man.
Yeah,
I'd rather do weights. A friend of mine's a farmer, and he argues that you get what you pay for. So, for example, he's a regenerative farmer. So his eggs and chicken and all that kind of thing is more expensive, right? Because there's less of it. But what is the price of your health? That's his question. And it's a great point.
Yeah, there's nothing in this 3D video game that is more valuable. Because if you don't have your physical health, then you really have nothing in this video game. So yeah, like I'm amazed at how few people really focus on those sort of things and don't take care of those sort of things. It seems like people don't pay attention to the most important things sometimes, but that is for me, it's important to be physically as good as possible for a number of reasons. And one of them is because if my physical isn't good, my mental isn't really good. And if my mental isn't really good, then I can't do that self-work, which I've already done most of it, to work on all those fixing my mind and reprogramming my mind. And then on top of that, if my mental's not good, it's really hard to connect in the meditation and stuff like that to basically spiritually, you could call it, or energetically. So, you know, I think even in like the Catholic sort of a thing, they talk about the Trinity. I could be wrong on this, but what do they call it? The temple. I don't know, but like it basically what it is, it's true. It's mind, body, and basically soul is basically what you are. And to not take care of one of those three things is insane to me. But your average person just doesn't know or doesn't, you know, again, they want someone else to be doing it for them. So they'll take a Ozempic or something, right? And instead of actually just doing basic workout, which makes you feel so good, it gets your serotonin going and all that kind of stuff. They'll take something from Pfizer that will make their teeth fall out, turn them into a zombie, and make them lose all their muscle instead, right? So there's always a choice. Everyone's got a choice with everything, and your average person's actually just missing out on making a lot of the right choices, unfortunately.
What would happen if 50% of the world had a day like yours?
Wow, that's an interesting question. 50%, okay. Well, I guess if what you're saying is have a day like mine, that would mean they've done the work I've done to get to this stage, right? I would say if half the world had basically, because a lot of people will call this like enlightened and stuff, right? I would say that if half the world did that, this world would be so massively different that you couldn't even comprehend how it could be, what it would be. You'd basically have a world that's very healed, very happy without the need for like all sorts of things to make them happy, right? It'd probably be far less materialistic because a lot of that materialism comes from unhappy people searching for a product to make them feel better and stuff like that. You'd have, you know, so many people, their biggest issues are all their childhood traumas and stuff. If people could fix those and not pass those along, because that's usually what happens, they just get passed right along to the next generation. You'd have like a, you know, the whole world would be full of basically little Buddhas and Jesuses, basically. And I don't know what that would look like, but it'd probably be pretty beautiful. Because if they knew what I knew, they know there's no reason to be violent. Like, what are the reasons that people are? It's usually because of traumas that they've got, or things like, oh, they're gonna like beat some up and take their stuff, right? Well, if you do this work, you know that's basically you as well, and that's not gonna make you happy. And you actually, all the happiness is within. And if people knew that, then yeah, there'd be hardly any violence. There'd be hardly any poverty. It'd just be a world of beauty and abundance, for the most part, I think. Although you never know how things would work out. But I would imagine it'd be so much better than it is now, because in my opinion, the amount of people on Earth who actually are even close to having done the work on themselves and have that connection to source is very, very small. And that's why this world looks so crazy and horrible in so many ways, is because of that. So, yeah, you know, you kind of got me thinking, though, like, what if everyone was like that? I almost wonder if it wouldn't be kind of boring. Right. So, you know, we might ruin the 3 video game. Right. Like, maybe everyone's not supposed to be like that for a reason. Right. I don't know.
But it's by design, though, isn't it, to keep everybody distracted?
That's what actually this Matrix is really good at, is keeping everyone distracted. So they've got you in every single way. From the moment you're born, they take the little kids. They're like, you got to go into this government indoctrination camp for 12 years and go memorize a bunch of useless information. Then when you go home, we're going to give you homework, and you can just waste more of your time doing that. And then after all that, you're probably going to be pretty depressed and tired. So turn on the mind control box, the television programming, and we'll give you a bunch of propaganda and feed it all into your subconscious, give you all these things and make you feel bad about yourself and all that sort of stuff. Almost everything in this video game is a trap. And a lot of people have fallen for a fair amount of them. So I think a lot of people, this would just be too much for them, because this is so outside of the bounds of what most people think this world is. But, you know, what can I do about that? There's nothing I can do about that. All I can do is do what I do. And I'm doing this right now. And if this helps some people out there, then awesome. Because basically all I'm doing is helping myself. So it's kind of selfish. Although I don't even really care about that, because it's all just a video game. But it is kind of nice, though. It is kind of nice. It feels nice in the video game to help others. Like, that's something that I've always really liked about life, is helping other people in various ways, and it can come in so many different forms. For me, it just feels nice. So if this does help some people, great. And there's gonna be lots of people in the comments, he's crazy, he's on drugs or something, and whatever people want to do with it, go ahead and do whatever you want with it. I have no attachment to the outcome.
How can my audience follow you, or follow your work or your thoughts or anything along those lines?
You can go to dollarvigilante.com, which is our financial newsletter, but I actually write about a lot of stuff in our financial newsletter. Also do videos where I go for walks with my dogs usually. You can find those at vigilante.tv is the best place. It's also on BitChute. It's also on Rumble, or also on YouTube. But the YouTube, like, it's heavily, we can't include a lot of the stuff we want to include in it. And they usually will delete a bunch of our videos and stuff like that. I guess another way is to come to our event in Acapulco, which is coming up in February 15th to 20th in Puerto Vallarta. And there's a lot of people who are similar in mindset to what I've been talking about are all there. So if you think, you know, all this stuff I've been talking about is really interesting, you'd like to be around people like that, that's basically what an Acapulco is. It's coming up in February.
Have you been to my end of the pond?
I've never been to South Africa. I've tried to go numerous times, and I've always gotten derailed along the way. I've been to Morocco. I've been to Egypt, Zimbabwe.
Oh, that's quite close.
Yeah, on the Zimbabwe trip, I was actually with Luke, and we were going to go to South Africa, but something happened again. Like, this has happened to me numerous times where I just was going to go, and something happened, and I didn't end up going. So I've actually been invited by another friend who lives in Cape Town to visit. And I wouldn't mind at all. I'd like to go see South Africa, Cape Town. So maybe in sometime in the next year, creator willing.
I'm in Cape Town. If you do come and stay at my house. Jeff Berwick, thank you for joining me in the trenches.